to this joint meeting, just to indicate that the first item will be chaired by myself, and the second item regarding to the parliamentary precinct will be chaired by my co-chair. Honourable members, just to, again, before we introduce, to give reference to this meeting, members will remember that during the recess we had a meeting specifically dealing with the challenges at Parliament, the roles of the South African Police Service and Public Works. We received an interim report from the South African Police Service, and today is really to finalise the matter, to get final briefs from the two different role players on where we are, what are the solutions that's been put in place, and also moving forward. But the first item today is a very important issue, and it really relates to matters that was raised, I think, during the BRRR process regarding the challenges pertaining to services rendered by National Department of Public Works to entities within the police portfolio. Now, during the BRRR process, we also indicated that all departments falling within the policing department or portfolio should be here today. Now, unfortunately, it seems what was the reason, IPET as well as the Civilian Secretariat is not here today, but they were supposed to be here today, so we're glad that South African Police Service Management is here so that we can deal with that important issue as the first order of business. So members, that is going to be, the order is we're going to first deal with the issues of challenges pertaining to services rendered by the National Department of Public Works and to get then their response to the issues raised by South African Police Service, and of course the members will also interact. I also, with regard to the second issue, wants to welcome the members of the Financial Oversight Committee of Parliament who are present, as well as the staff members. We also extended the invitation to them that they can also take note of the proceedings and these issues that we will have to take forward. Before we introduce the members, I'm going to give my co-chair also opportunity if he also wants to just add to my introductory remarks. Check.
Thank you very much, Co-Chairperson. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, indeed, once more, I echo the same sentiments by my co-chair. I think in the interest of time, if the co-chair can continue.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm now giving an opportunity to honourable members to introduce themselves, starting from Honourable Molabatsi, and then the first row, and then we will go to National Commission of Police as well as the DG of Public Works. Honourable Molabatsi.
Goeiemôre, dames en here. My name is Angie Molewati. Ek is a lid van die Policy Committee. Ek dank ie.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Manuku Masahela, a member of the Public Works Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Commissioner and colleagues. My name is Sheikh Imam, member of the Portfolio Committee on Police, but I'm also a member on the Joint Standing Committee on Management Parliament.
Good morning. My name is Jerome Marke, a member of the Police Committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dennis Ryder, member of the Public Works Portfolio Committee.
Maybe there at the back.
Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Naren Singh. I'm a member of the Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Singh. Honourable Fultani, you're welcome.
Oh, this is the effervescent Fultani, member for Public Works.
Diane Cole-Barnard from the Police Portfolio Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Zakel Mbele, member of the Police Committee.
Morning, Chair. My name is Philip Mchong, member of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. We will now ask the National Commission of Police, General Sitoli, to introduce his delegation, and then we'll give an opportunity to the DG of Public Works. General.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Co-Chair, Honourable members. Chair, the South African Police Service delegation, as I call their names, they will make the indication. The first one is Lieutenant General S. Infazi, DNC Management Advisory Services. The second one is Lieutenant General Masemola, Deputy National Commissioner Policing. The third one is Lieutenant General Vuma, Deputy National Commissioner Asset and Legal. Major General MJ Mutipe Masemola, Government Security Regulator, PSS. Then Lieutenant General S. Sabane, Divisional Commissioner Protection and Security. Major General M.O. Mutane, Protection and Security. Major General C.T. Sitole, Division Supply Chain Management. Major General Lituava, Directorate for Priority Crime Investigations. Major General Nelson, Acting CFO. Brigadier Kruger, Section Head Support Supply Chain Management. Brigadier Daisel, Section Head Finance and Administration, Supply Chain. Brigadier Matluku, Section Head Planning, Infrastructure Planning, Supply Chain. Brigadier Stembane, Section Head Asset Operation, Supply Chain. Brigadier Adendov, Security Advisory, Protection and Security. Brigadier Peterson, Provincial Head Western Cape Protection and Security. Brigadier C.B. Mitchell, Strategic Management. Brigadier Madlahlela, Executive Secretariat, Office of the National Commissioner. Colonel E. Peters, Office of the Divisional Commissioner, PSS. Colonel Murdili, Acting Spokesperson, National Commissioner. Colonel S.T. Molozi, Section Commander, Parliament, Protection and Security. Colonel A.E. Mbezi, Commander Supply Chain Management, DPCI, and Colonel K.P. Stain, Parliamentary Liaison Strategic Management. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Sitole. Mr. Mukela, the DG of Public Works.
Good morning, Honourable Chairpersons and Honourable Members and colleagues from the sub. I'm Sam Fukela, I'm the DG of Public Works. With me here, I've got Mr. Sazona, who's responsible for Prestige Portfolio. Mr. Wach Mukut is responsible for construction projects. Madam Meme Khakhara, she's responsible for Prestige, basically here in the Cape Town area. Madam Nyele Dimakwele, she's responsible for facilities management. Madam Nomalanga Kani, she is the regional manager here in the Cape Town area. Madam Tembeka Kolele, she is the director responsible for projects in the Cape Town area. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. Any apologies that needs to be noted? No apologies for police?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone present in the meeting. We've got two apologies from our side, from the side of Public Works. One from Honourable Madlopa, who's unwell and also is still grieving the loss of her daughter at home. Secondly, Honourable Fig has indicated that he's getting a little delayed. He should be joining the meeting at a later stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We will then proceed with the first item, the briefing by the South African Police Service on the issues with regard to the portfolio of police, and that also includes the DPCI. Thank you, General Sitole.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Maybe just the important to start with is that from our previous appearance in the committee, there was also suggestions and directions that we should engage with Public Works and look at some issues. But we started by persuading the executive authorities to meet first, the ministers, because we realize there's quite a lot of policy issues that needed to be discussed. And the two ministers met, and there is a direction that they have given. But at the time they met, it did not necessarily afford us sufficient opportunity then to meet with Public Works. But both departments from the ministers, the matters that will be relating to are matters that were brought to the attention of both ministers, and they were also brought to the fore. Then finally also, Chair, I then need to indicate that yes, there's areas that we need to amicably agree to, which are areas that are critical, and it won't help us either to criticize each other or to differ, as long as we just get policy. So from SAPS, with your permission, our presentation shall be led by Brigadier Mitchell. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General Sitoli. Thank you, Brigadier.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the two joint committees. The challenges pertaining to services rendered by the NDPW from a SAPS point of view, we'll deal with the purpose of the presentation, the legislative framework, the mandate, challenges and possible solutions, and then from a Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation point of view, challenges and solutions that mostly depict the status quo of the situation within the DPCI at the moment. The purpose to highlight the challenges experienced with NDPW and request intervention of the two committees, propose solutions to enhance effective service delivery at the premises of the SAPS. The legislative framework as depicted there, the Constitution, the Government Immovable Asset Management Act, the PFMA, Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, the MOU between SAPS and NDPW signed on 15 December 2015, and the service level agreement signed on the same date. In terms of the mandate, the NDPW responsible to provide solutions for accommodation of all national government departments, custodian of all immovable state assets. The MOU signed in April 2009 for the devolution of the 279 police stations to the SAPS, facilitate the conclusion of new, alternative and renewal of leases for SAPS, facilitation and acceptance of donations and for submission to National Treasury, facilitate the acquiring of land and buildings through the Land Affairs Board, payment of municipal services rates and taxes, disposal of assets not utilized by SAPS, and perform custodial functions or responsibility for non-devolved police stations, that's in respect of maintenance planned and unplanned. From a SAPS point of view, implementation and execution of all newly built and existing capital projects for functional accommodation, and perform custodial functions and responsibilities for devolved stations, again maintenance planned and unplanned. In terms of challenges and possible solutions, starting with Telkom Towers, which comprises 9 individual towers purchased from the Telkom Retirement Fund by NDPW on behalf of SAPS on the 29th of June 2015. The first challenge was that out of the 9 towers, the feasibility study reflected that one tower, the central building, is condemned by the municipality due to water contamination, which will cost an estimated 20 million for us to be compliant. The central Somerset and West Wing are heritage buildings and need to be protected and renovated. 2 towers were leased back to TRF, namely the PR building leased for 3 years as indicated in terms of the time frame, and the IT building leased for 2 years, again the time frame is depicted. The mechanical and electrical installation at all towers need to be upgraded due to the fact that they are approximately 30 years old, and it will require an approximate 100 million rand to effect this. The feasibility study received from NDPW during the acquisition of Telkom Towers stipulates that NDPW will be responsible to conduct remedial maintenance work to bring the building to an acceptable and habitable standard. However, NDPW has requested that funding from SAPS. The initial occupation date agreed was the 1st of April 2016. However, the statutory compliance and remedial maintenance requirements as reflected in the feasibility study were not attended to. The migration plan for phase 1 to 6 was submitted to NDPW on the 7th of April 2017, with phase 1 and 2 being a priority due to the delays regarding the changes within the organization that derailed the finalization of the migration plan. Continuing with the challenges, subsequent to that, numerous meetings were held with senior officials from both departments to facilitate the process leading to the occupation date of phase 1 and 2. The project execution phase for phase 1, which is the North Tower and Annex Building that was presented in July 2018, reflected 1 July 2019 as the practical completion date while most of the leases that were targeted to be terminated are on a month-to-month basis and some during February 2019. The commitment made by NDPW during a meeting held on 9 April 2018 that the North Tower would be ready for occupation by the National Commissioner on 1 May 2019 led to the National Commissioner taking occupation on the 7th of May. Thereafter, a letter was received from NDPW indicating that the building is not compliant despite the presentation that was forwarded to the National Commissioner's office reflecting the status of progress and repair in terms of repair and upgrade to be between 80 and 100% complete. The condition-based assessment report for Phase 1 to 6 has not yet been provided by NDPW, and the stalemate on the relocation to Telkom Towers is exerting pressure on SAPS's lease budget as well as compromising planning, as 11 leases have expired and need to be maintained on a month-to-month basis. These leases cannot be renewed as they were earmarked for relocation to Telkom Towers. Challenges: none of the Telkom buildings acquired for SAPS are compliant or ready for occupation, including the two buildings that were leased out to the TRF, and this is having a significant impact on the functioning of the SAPS head office. Impact: SAPS members accommodated at Telkom Towers are exposed to occupational health and safety risks as the building does not have fire detection, fire protection, lifts are malfunctioning, lack of ventilation, and malfunctioning of the HVAC system. SAPS continues to incur expenses for leases, whereas the procurement of Telkom Towers was intended to alleviate that pressure. Made the majority of Pretoria CBD leased buildings which are earmarked for migration to Telkom Towers are leased on a month-to-month basis and are not adequately maintained, thus exposing SAPS members to OHS risks as well as possible evictions and lockouts. The vacant unoccupied Telkom Towers buildings degenerate due to non-occupation, resulting in exorbitant amounts required for repairs and upgrades. Possible solution: the NDPW submit a project execution schedule with cost breakdowns for 1 to 6, which would in turn assist the SAPS to have a clear understanding and knowledge of what is going to take place, as well as have the capability to fast-track the process where required. Moving on to implementation agents in terms of the capital works program, the challenges relate to the utilization of implementation agents as a procurement strategy by NDPW without consultation with the SAPS with regard to projects and specifically generators. Exorbitant fees cripple the capital budget. For example, the initial estimated project value for Kagisonong was 66 million and was parachuted to 147 million as an effect of the appointment of the implementing agent. SAPS is not able to forecast and plan as a result of these exorbitant figures. The NDPW installed currently utilizing implementing agents to install standby generators.
Just a moment, Brigadier, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for the interruption. I'm just feeling a little bit hijacked. I note that we were called here, and I look at the notice of the meeting, for a briefing by SAPS and Public Works on the short-term solutions for identified security deficiencies, dealing with, as a follow-up to our last joint committee meeting, where we were dealing with the parliamentary precinct and the security issues. Now, I'm not sure what Telkom Towers, and I understand that these are issues that need to be dealt with, but I'm not sure if we're on the same page.
No, sir. I take you back to that specific meeting. There was an announcement in that meeting that the broader issues will be dealt with in the second meeting. And at the beginning of this meeting, I don't know whether you were present, we've indicated that there's two agenda items. You're first going to deal with the long-term issues, and the parliamentary precinct is the second issue. That's going to be chaired by your chairperson. Thank you, sir. Brigadier, you can continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just getting back to the generators, the NDPW is currently utilising implementing agents to install these generators. Fees charged are overpriced when compared to fees charged by the service provider that is contracted by the SAPS, and the example is indicated there. Possible solution: NDPW engage the SAPS with regard to the proposed procurement strategy as to allow SAPS to forecast costs in this regard. Related to the works control system, the WCS, the data integrity on the system, milestones populated by regional NDP offices are not always a true reflection of the projected completion dates of projects, and projects are captured as completed and closed on the system. Physical inspections, however, reflect that facilities are in a condition that is worse to prior to the execution of the project. The impact is that SAPS is unable to monitor and track projects executed by NDPW as there are no realistic milestones and therefore inaccurate information is communicated to stakeholders. the possible solution, the WCS should be constantly updated by NDPW to accurately reflect project milestones as well as progress. In terms of registering of new services, a delay in the registration of new services requested by SAPS to NDPW and planning instruction not forwarded to SAPS for recording purposes being the challenges, impact, the backlog in the implementation of projects, the allocated budget not spent, and stakeholder dissatisfaction and continuous complaints, possible solutions. The PMS for all regions should be submitted to SAPS consistently on a monthly basis, and there is an obvious requirement for the convening of regular client forum meetings involving the two stakeholders from the two departments. Looking at the program management schedule, the PMS, inaccurate information captured on the PMS, which is utilized as a measuring tool to track performance or activities of projects currently being undertaken by the NDPW, the impact being that the SAPS is unable to monitor or track these projects, again as there are no realistic milestones and inaccurate information is communicated. Solution, the NDPW to submit the PMS to SAPS on a monthly basis. Currently, the SAPS does not receive PMS timely, and if received, there are omissions of certain regions. Planned maintenance program. The NDPW has put a moratorium on all planned maintenance projects without informing the SAPS as a client department. The major concern with regards to the planned maintenance program is that the SAPS is unable to activate any new services that are urgently needed. And this is due to the fact that the NDPW does exert pressure on the contractors that they appoint, and currently the SAPS planned maintenance program purely consists of projects from the 13-14 and 14-15 financial years. There's also no indication of how funding is distributed for all client departments, as the SAPS is sometimes informed that funding has been exhausted. Impact prohibition notices and contravention notices issued by the Department of Labor, as well as that department condemning buildings. Possible solutions, the NDP urgently submit an intervention strategy depicting the long-term and short-term strategies and key actions that seek to address the condition of facilities occupied by SAPS. Projects, the status of project management within the NDPW, projects are initiated, no consultation from NDPW is done with the provincial personnel, particularly on the scope of work. The project team is not conversant with the Project 5 staff specification, which relates to detention facilities, slow pace in finalizing contractors, disputes by DPW on projects, and the appointment of inexperienced service providers. The impact on SAPS projects taking a very long time to be completed, substandard quality on projects implemented by NDPW, and additional risks such as escapes from custody in terms of the Project 5 staff specification. And the possible solution, integrated quality control measures during execution and before handover. Relating to rental and leases, the lack of maintenance on leased facilities by the landlord, which has resulted in the deterioration of conditions in these facilities, renewals, extension of lease agreements done without consulting SAPS, an example is the Veritas building, copies of lease agreements, new and renewed, not timeously received from NDPW, unjustifiable leased amounts paid on buildings whereby the gross lettable area does not appropriate the assignable area, for example, the Tilbach building, which houses the TMS division, free leases, owners request payment and therefore SAPS is not able to budget effectively, lockouts due to non-payment by NDPW, as well as discrepancies on measurement in square meters with regard to contract, looking at contract versus actual. In addition to that, landlords and owners liaise with SAPS and not NDPW. In terms of our high sites, we've had lockouts and maintenance should be included. There's been change in ownership in certain instances without SAPS having been informed, incorrect information on the property management information system, limited assistance from DPW regional offices pertaining to challenges experienced, particularly in respect of landlords and evictions, disconnection of electricity and water, outstanding contracts for repeat sites, lack of certificate of compliance for occupied leased facilities, and DPW not withholding payment to landlords that default on maintenance. The impact, of course, evictions and lockouts, prohibition notices and contravention notices, as well as buildings being condemned and employees exposed to health and risk hazards, as well as the impact on service delivery generally. The NDPW should urgently again submit an intervention strategy looking at those long and short-term strategies and key actions. The NDPW present proposed solutions to circumvent lockouts as well as challenges by landlords, present proposed solutions to address non-payment for rent to landlords, withhold payments to landlords as a result of the lack of maintenance of leased properties, and monthly spreadsheets be provided on proof of payments done with respect to disconnections in terms of water and electricity. Looking at donations, there are protracted timeframes taken by the NDPW to approve donation applications. As a result of that, donors withdraw donations and donated sites are forfeited or illegally occupied, and we propose the NDP have faster turnaround times in this regard. The asset register, there are discrepancies between SAPSA's asset register and the NDPW asset register regarding the location and identification of facilities. And the impact on us, information does not correspond, verification takes too long, the payment of leases that have been vacated and irregularities as a result of audits that are done. Proposed the possible solution, proposed quarterly review sessions between SAPS and NDPW. Challenges related to the establishment of victim-friendly facilities at police stations. The majority of police stations are non-devolved. Only 279 are devolved and remain without victim-friendly facilities, thereby compromising service delivery to the victims of sexual crimes, who are more often than not women and children. Some police stations are faced with space constraints to an extent that they convert office accommodation into a VFF, and numerous requests for authorization submitted by SAPS since 2006 have not been responded to, thus promoting non-compliance to the legislative framework. Impact, that non-compliance that I referred to, tarnishes the SAPS image and compromises service delivery as well as the effective investigation of cases, increases the risk of secondary victimization. Solutions, NDPW submit the intervention strategy and grant SAPS approval for the establishment of VFFs at non-devolved police stations. Official housing and office accommodation, lack of maintenance, as the aforementioned, numerous requests have been forwarded to NDPW. In this regard, non-payment of municipal accounts, rates and taxes, and in arrears at office accommodation, renovation of living quarters not included in the renovation process for stations, application for the utilization of market-related resources or rentals are outstanding, and delay in the approving of converting houses into office accommodation. The impact, houses are vacated and cannot be reallocated due to the condition, resulting further deterioration and vandalism of these premises occur. Again, the intervention strategy is recommended as the possible solution in this regard. Just a couple of miscellaneous issues. Generators, they're not in a good condition and no contracts are in place for servicing and repair of emergency generators. Elevators are not regularly serviced and thus are not OHS compliant. Lack of communication, especially client liaison forum meetings between SAPS and DPW. The turnaround time for complaints and call logged at DPW takes very long. The DPW decline or neglect to provide reasons for non-compliance in cases of emergency. DPW often refers other departments to view and share premises with SAPS. And Eskom electricity, there are still numerous stations dependent either on generators or solar panels for the provisioning of electricity due to the fact that there are long delays between Eskom and DPW. Impact, stations are left without power due to generators not working, hampering service delivery, OHS non-compliance. It hinders service delivery to disabled members of the public in particular, and neglected maintenance of generators results in increased replacement costs. Possible solutions, contracts in this regard to be renewed timeously, supplier payments to be expedited, enhance effective communication and constant feedback, and DPW to urgently submit a turnaround to address these challenges. The maintenance of SAPS facilities, this is the day-to-day maintenance, this is the condition of our buildings just from an appearance point of view, tarnishes our image, buildings are rapidly deteriorating, and to increase the threshold amount without increasing the scope of works has not assisted the SAPS. The increase of the scope of works has been outstanding since 2015. Poor non-maintenance of buildings and cell blocks, non-compliance with five-star specifications and disability compliance. Stations again are left without power, impacting on service delivery. You have the OHS contravention and examples there, George Koch and the Waltloo single quarters as well as the Pretoria Central complex. Solutions, contracts reviewed timeously, supplier payments to be expedited, enhance effective communication and constant feedback between the two departments, and DPW again to submit the turnaround to address these challenges. Client forum meetings, this is a critical issue that needs to be addressed between SAPS and DPW. The impact is protracted turnaround times on emergencies and priority projects, ineffective communication, and the impact of that, that is between the two departments. Pertinent issues regarding projects are not timeously communicated to SAPS, devolution agreement not fully enforced, and lack of response, particularly to official communication. Possible solution: enhance effective communication, establish constant feedback, and establish an activation of the steering committee meetings as directed by the devolution agreement. Just looking at the DPCI, and once again just to emphasize that this is the current status, just in terms of the DPCI, a special dispensation in terms of particularly from a supply chain management point of view, facilities point of view, is needed not only for the DPCI but for crime intelligence, forensic services, as well as PSS and PPS, given the strategic risk that these environments face. The DPCI is occupying buildings with other external tenants. A lot of their buildings are overutilized and underpopulated. The DPCI is also fragmented, where in certain provinces they occupy a number of buildings, and the majority of the buildings are not OHS compliant. Some of the buildings, like in the Eastern Cape, are in a situation where they are malfunctioning fire detection systems and other contraventions of the OHS regulations. The DPCI has experienced lockouts by landlords for the non-payment of leases, buildings are not properly maintained, and landlords are not put on terms by NDPW for that non-compliance. This is just a breakdown of the expenditure annually for the payment of leased buildings, looking at the DPCI head office as well as the nine provinces. You can see listed there the number of leased buildings for each one of those areas, the monthly expenditure, which amounts to a total lease cost per annum of 177 million. Recommendations: procurement of cellular standalone buildings, the procurement of state-owned buildings rather than leased facilities, particularly for those environments I've mentioned, and then state buildings allocated to the DPCI to be involved to enable the proper and speedy attendance to the maintenance of these facilities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Brigadier. General, you want to add? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Maybe just briefly is to give the categories how we as find the risk. We've got national security risk category. One is posed by leased buildings, especially on four components: is DPCI, is CI, is forensic, and PSS. Then those environments, if they make use of these buildings, then it's a national security risk. Then the maintenance of existing buildings, which include police stations, it's the devolve and non-devolve issue. There's police stations like Joburg Central. If it has to be maintained by private and external constructors, you already have a national security risk. So in such a case, we would rather more recommend that such a police station should rather be devolved. It's maintenance, so that you've got a clear security system operating within it. The generators too, SAPS has got its own contract arrangement, and there's also a contract arrangement by Public Works. Now, the installation of backup generators by external service providers poses a risk to the police station, because they must also have the contract to maintain it. Then you would remember, Chair, we've got attacks now which are prevalent to police stations. Therefore, again, it poses a national security risk. So our suggestion is that as and when we engage now after the principals with Public Works, I think there's a positive understanding between us, both myself and the DG, but we need to formalize those processes so that we bring this to their attention. The vetting status of service providers, including employees who are walking in and out into police stations and other areas. Then we've got some strategic risks. One of them is the long-term delay of building police stations. We've got an example of a police station that was started its construction in 1995, so it's not yet finalized. And there's few of those. Now, the committee has seen, we came here to present the ratios of police to the public. Now, if a police station is demanded now, it can be between now and 3 years. If you do not finish it after 3 years, development outgrows that particular area and population. If you have stayed for more than 10 years, by the time you finish the first police station, you already need 4 police stations. Hence, the current police stations that are actually have inflated profiles, like your top 30 and all those. So we'll have to work on some measures again. How do we deal with this particular delay? The project five-star is an escape risk. And obviously, we're dealing with several dangerous criminals and very strategic. If they see one opportunity, they can work on it, especially if there's such. But the central solution, Chair, is policy review, which we have escalated to the principals, and they've started the process. But myself and the DG would be working on the strategic alignment of these particular processes so that we correct what can be corrected, and then we refer what should belong to policy where it belongs. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General Sitoli. We will now ask the DG of Public Works to present their presentation on this matter. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I'm not going to respond on this. This is a very substantive, extensive presentation. I would want to apologize if I missed this point of saying this item will be part of the discussion today, because no one in the department picked it that we are going to focus mainly on this. But I accept this presentation, which I'm aware of the issues that the National Commissioner has raised. I would want to make a proposal, Honourable Chair, in the light of the fact that the team that I have is very thin. It's thin because it's focused mainly on matters pertaining to Parliament. It is based on the brief. I may not have picked it. Even in the minutes that I have, I didn't pick that part. The Honourable Chair will guide as to whether do you want us to engage on the presentation, or because we don't have a written response on all the issues that have been raised, because the presentation is quite clear in terms of what we are supposed to do, which we accept. We'll ensure that we attend to all the areas that have been indicated here, which I find it very acceptable that they've made this presentation, and then it gives me the best opportunity to ensure that when we respond, we know what it is that we are responding to. I think this is one of the best opportunities that we are receiving from our colleagues from SAPS. It gives us the opportunity as public works to go and respond in detail all the issues, because if we can respond, it will be official responses that will not assist the committee in arriving into a better decision. I want to propose that I'm ready with the presentation of continuing with what we left in the previous meeting, and then I also want to request an apology that I missed this point, that we're going to deal with all the matters pertaining to public works and South African police services.
Thank you, Gigi. I at this stage will reserve my comments on the input, because I must be asked to my co-chair, but I allow the members to Honourable Imam Sheikh, Honourable Malabatsi, Honourable Kushlongu, Honourable Kalabana.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I find this totally unacceptable. that you need a presentation by Joint Police and Public Works to the Portfolio Committee. In the presence of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, to now come and admit that you know these things, but nothing is being done about it. Why do you need to allow it to get to the stage where it is today? That's the first thing. Now, secondly, you should be expecting that the presentation that's going to come from SEPS, that you need to respond to them accordingly, item by item, so that we can find a solution to it. And the third thing, Chair, is maybe Public Works must be bold and tell us here now today, do you have the capacity to deal with these things or not? If you cannot have the capacity or you don't have the capacity to deal with this, then we need to deal with this matter in a different manner altogether. But clearly, these challenges that SEPS has been facing, it's not only SEPS, all government departments, I can tell you. But what SEPS is facing, like you're hearing, it's a risk. It's been going on for ages and ages and ages, and nothing is being done. So I'm not convinced that what you are going to tell us today, that you're going to address it, and sincerely, that is what's going to happen. Be honest and tell us whether you have the capacity, you cannot, so we can find another way to be able to deal with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. You see, Chairperson, what the DG has just explained is totally unacceptable. Before you are called to a committee, you are told what you are going to do and what you are going to present. What he just said is unacceptable, and I don't buy it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Shlongo.
Chairperson, I must be very honest, Chairperson. I also sit in the Defence Portfolio Committee. What this department is doing is just total treason. We have got a hospital in Free State where government spent millions, close to billions of rands, building a military hospital in a manner that doesn't even meet specifications of the defence, such that it must be abolished. This very department, which is totally useless. You know, we cannot allow this department to break away with murder the way they do. The report by police clearly indicates here that, one, they are inflating prices, something that can be done for 300,000. With them, it costs millions of rands. It's because they are suffering from corruption. We cannot, as this parliament, allow this department to break away with murder. And the excuse by the DG must, you know, I have done project management. It's very simple. Specifications and all that need to be done in consultation with the stakeholder and all that to the satisfaction of the stakeholder. Why are these people not doing such simple things? So that they can prepare the metrics of project management and say that this is a project manager appointed by the department and all that, and specifications have been brought for us to meet this. Since General Shamanza, when he was the commander of Hawks, he was telling us that they are working in a building full of Amagwinya traders, according to him. That's exactly what he was saying. Now, we allow this department to defeat the object of fighting crime in our country, making security agencies of the country more susceptible to infiltration and all forms of abuse. It's completely useless what the DG is saying, and this parliament cannot allow him. Why not consult the security forces on their own specifications to be made by the department? Instead, they are looting money from the government. Even the Minister of Public Works, Minister Glazy, is saying this department is just a fake. I think a more determined meeting, Chairperson, needs to be called, maybe comprising even of SCOPA, so that we can deal with this department once and for all. Because they use this department as a cash cow for themselves and their own cronies. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable Cora Barnard, and then I've got two other members here at the back. Yes.
Thank you. Chair, we have sat in front of this committee. I've been around for a decade, in fact, on both committees. And I've watched, I traveled to stations, I'm seeing listed buildings being forced off on the SAPs. Contractors come in a Dundee station 2 years ago, break down the fence, strip the listed building, take the money and disappear. 2 years, the SAPs have sat there. We've got officers being shot to death in the stations, and you can't even get a fence up. Sorry, sir, would you like to, hello? I'm talking to Public Works, but he's obviously thinking of something else. We have issues that are raised over and over and over again. Security issues. We had a full presentation. To my knowledge, not one step has been taken towards stopping the police being slaughtered in their stations because you don't provide security measures. Oh, yeah, you'll put it on the agenda and 5 years down the line, how many deaths will lie at your feet? And you've done nothing. I mean, did you really think you were going to come here for some sort of little cotton patting down meeting? It's never going to happen in the Police Portfolio Committee. Won't happen. We have issue after issue. The forensic laboratories building I've been telling you about for 10 years still sits empty, lying rat-infested in Durban. The one you were using was flooded out, all the evidence washed into the ocean. Those members have been shot up to wherever, Joburg, Pretoria, other places, their lives destroyed in KZN because you did nothing. You put them in a slum building. In fact, I went through the slum building. And at the top, there's not even a door. You could land a helicopter on the top, come down with two AKs, take the evidence and fly off. And you're free and home. That's how you treat the SAPS members. And don't think we haven't been to the firearm registry. It's a disgrace. So to come here and say, gee, I didn't know, I can't answer, it's just not good enough. You know, I just heard an hour ago, Le Montfort Station. You sent in some fly-by-night, some relative of somebody who does what, who did work at that station. The SAP sent a captain down to get it signed off. And the people at the station said, we're not doing that. It's an absolute pigsty of a mess. Public Works. Again. I don't know who you're hiring, who you're doing, and who's taking home the money, but certainly SAPs are not scoring from anything you do. Nothing. If it can take years to build a station, and I've been to a station that you built where you put big bolts on the doors inside the cells, neatly put up there so that the detainees can hang themselves. Well done. You don't listen when the SAPs talk to you. You're going to wait until more SAPs members are slaughtered in their stations, and then maybe one of you will wake up and say, oh, maybe we should have done something when they asked. Please don't ever come to a meeting of the SAPs and think that we're not going to raise the issues that we speak about twice a week, every week of our lives.
Thank you, Member. Honourable Mashiele and Honourable Fick. Oh, sorry, in front. Sorry, apologies. You can go ahead, sir. Honourable Fultani, you can go ahead. Sorry, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Just to show that if the Department of Public Works want and deserve to be taken seriously, I've listed 7 points here, which anyone who is the DG of the department and has been for more than a year would be able to. If not him, then he would be having someone immediately below him with whom he could have asked for time to confer. At least Public Works should have said, give us some time, 10 minutes or so, we'll catch up on some of the issues. At least issues that did not arise in 2017 or 18, but have been there within the department. And as such, if there was any serious maintenance program by the department, these issues would have been in the fingertips of the DG one. It's rather unfortunate that the political head of Public Works is not here. It's not for me at this point in time to inquire why he was not invited, but that's a side issue. Some issues go as far back as 2015, acquisition of telecom towers. For sure there's been a lot of correspondence, which one would hope did not end only at director level, in which case the DG or the DDG would say, I know nothing, because we're talking big money here. People at that level wouldn't be involved and end there. 2016, maintenance issues. This is 2 years ago. It's not new to the DG if he's on the game. Leasing of buildings that are not legally compliant. It cannot be the first time that the DG hears about a client who complains about buildings which are not legally compliant. Generally, not working together with own clients. This can't be a new thing that is hearing for the first time. There must be just a general lack of cooperation between him and a critical and strategic department like the police. Procurement strategy, which is very costly. It's not something new to the DG to know about that, unless there are certain parts or sections of his department which are operating without his knowledge at all. Because we're talking big money here. And we know that procurement in public works has time and time again be an issue, you know, when that has put the department to shame. Go to slide 11. When a decision was taken to place a moratorium on planned maintenance projects, what was that based on? That's not something that the DG needs to go back to Pretoria to go into the files to find out why such an important matter, you know, was halted. Because it's a general issue that buildings have to be maintained. Very critically, lack of COCs. Imagine people being stuck in a lift on a Friday afternoon on floor number 11 as a result of a COC that was not issued. The list is long, but I prefer to end there. So I want to place it on record that the Department of Public Works is deliberately collapsing or failing. Not inefficient. This has got nothing to do with inefficiency. It's a deliberate thing to say, I'm employed in this department. One of my principal functions is to collapse the state of South Africa. The second one is to make sure that the people of South Africa who use buildings under my custodianship must be exposed. That's the second thing that I must achieve. From 2015, this is 2018, I've got to achieve that. And that has been achieved successfully. So all we can do is to congratulate Public Works on a bad job so well done. Even showing here in Parliament that they have got the check, if I may put it that way, to tell us that we are not going to answer to any of these things because we need to go back to Pretoria and study. Question in closing, Chair, that one has to ask oneself, am I worth the chair on which I am sitting as head of the department? That's the question one should ask. Am I worth the chair that I am occupying? If I can't answer to things like this, I would understand if the DG was saying, I can deal with this and that and that and that. But certain things that require specific information, which is filed somewhere. Now, we know that we carry files here. Information is here. Laptops, always, they bring them here. Could easily have jotted the questions and generated them as we're speaking to his head office to say, please enable me to answer to this and that and that and that and that. And then he could have asked for a leeway in terms of time, 10 minutes or so, to say, I'm going to get a feedback. At least I'll be able to cover 50%. But the kind of attitude that is being shown here is not helping South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable. Yeah, I'm going to give Honourable Mashele, Honourable Fick and Honourable Markey an opportunity, but I think going forward, I mean, I think most of the points have been made. I think we'll give an opportunity after the three members just to maybe orally respond to the pertinent issues, but I think the big thing is we will have to have a comprehensive written response on all the issues raised by SAPS. I think the policy issues is still being discussed between the principals. I think the National Commission has raised that, but we'll give members an opportunity if there's any new things they want to raise, and then we'll give the DG of Public Works an opportunity to respond to some of the issues, and then, of course, we will deal with the written submissions, and after that, we will, of course, go to the second item. But you want to give in? You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Co-Chair. Honourable members, I thought I must come in just before the three members that we have noted, You know, when you're sharing a meeting, you also have a duty to ensure that the meeting is moving in a fair manner to both participants. We have two participants here, the public works and the police. Now, the DG, having received the presentation, which is detailed from the police, is clear that the fact that he is expected to respond on these matters, or these matters were going to be tabled in this meeting, didn't come to his attention. These are so detailed that cannot be responded because you know the issues. So they should be responded in a professional manner, in a written form, as they are presented in a written form. In fact, even before the DG was to say what he said, Honourable Member Dennis Ryder did raise a point that from Public Works Portfolio Committee, we don't understand what matter is being discussed here. He did raise that point, that Honourable Member Ryder, Mr. Mhlongo, the Chair, Mr. Mhlongo, the Chair is still speaking.
Chairperson, as public representatives, we must never cower before the civil servants who ought to be held responsible. This apology by the co-chair is completely unwarranted for. You know, the question of non-consultation of a stakeholder doesn't need you to go to your laptop. It's a question to give us a principle. I am telling you, Chairperson, go and ask Chairperson of the Defence Committee, Stanley. The hospital costing millions. Why are the police also not consulted in terms of the specifications?
Honourable, please calm down. Let's give the chair opportunity, then I want to take the three. Okay, members, please just let's. Yes.
Is the honourable member?
Chairperson.
Honourable member.
Sorry, Chairperson, sorry.
Honourable Fick.
I'm sorry,
Honourable members.
Chairperson, I'm point of order, Chairperson. I'm sorry to disrupt.
Honourable members, please. Please, honourable members, no interruptions. Honourable Fick, raise your point, please.
Thanks, Chairperson. The language that has been used in this committee meeting is unacceptable. It's unparliamentary, Chairperson. So I would like you to call the member to order, please, Chairperson.
Members, let's cooperate. Let's make it a constructive meeting. No interruptions. Let's give the chair opportunity. Then I go to the three members. We go to the DG and then we'll make determination. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, we have a duty to keep this meeting and the participants here honourable. So where I sit as the chair of a meeting, I have a duty to be fair to all participants. That's not being, to be accused of being, that and that is not fair to a person who's chairing a meeting. A duty of a person chairing a meeting is to ensure that the participants, all of them, have a fair chair to participate. If one is saying, I came not ready, I was not informed properly, and this is said not only by the DG, it's said by an honourable member from Public Works, that this was not his understanding that the matter elaborated by the general was going to be discussed here. That was from honourable member. It's clear then what will happen. Those honourable members from Public Works would say, no, we are now being taken to hostage. We are being hijacked into this matter. So, in fact, that's what the honourable members have said, Honourable Radio has said, before the DG said so. So, now, the worst thing we are doing we must be very, very sensitive to some statement that I've heard here. There's no honorable member, there's no employee of government would be happy when police, who are our children and our brothers, are dying at work. No one would be happy of anybody dying. Now, to say people are happy, people are slaughtered and people are happy, I think is not helping the meeting. There's no better person who is more sympathetic to any killing. So now to make it that those that are serving in this portfolio of police are sympathetic and those that are serving in another portfolio are not, then it cannot be, is making us fail to do our work effectively as leaders, even ensuring that those that are implementing our decision are accountable to us. We must do it in a manner that we give them space to do that. The fact that portfolio, the Department of Public Works for many years have been failing, cannot then say, even if they come without a knowledge that they will be presented on something, then we must push them to, because that won't be professional, that's not how we do things. The fact that they know, but they were not informed, because they must present a documentation. What they have prepared is prepared on the parliamentary, so there's nothing stopping us to rearrange a meeting, where they must then answer to all these matters, so that there's no excuse on their side. To jump and say people are, in fact, you know, all these conclusions that I've had here, they were really bad, you know, because they almost brush everybody with one brush. Those that are in public works with one brush, that you are looters. So which means, I think it's not really fair to really brush everybody with one brush. You rather give a person an opportunity to report. You see, that's what is always better. And then you hear.
Yeah, thanks. I think we must continue to debate now. Points in limine, it's not going to help. Let's. Are you going to help us?
Yes.
I want to take the three members and go to the DG, please.
No, I just wanted to draw the attention of the chair to the fact that I made a totally different approach. I highlighted issues which I felt could have been responded to, so I don't want to be bound together with every other comment that was made. I decided on a different approach, and I said these are issues that the DG could have responded to on the spot without necessarily going to fight. I made that point. Thanks.
Thank you, members. Honourable Mashiele, and then Honourable Fick, and Honourable Marke. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think at first I want to thank the presentation, but at the same time I think what the chairperson of Public Works Committee was saying, I concur with it. Honorable Ryder raised the same thing to say we are not expecting to be dealing with everything in general in this meeting. Because the last meeting that we were, we were busy with the parliamentary prison. That is what we thought we were going to do. But at the same time, after the answer that it was there, I thought maybe I missed the point somehow. But the same thing happens again with the DG there. So meaning, therefore, that there is something wrong here. And truly speaking, we cannot be in a meeting where people will be talking the way people are talking in this particular meeting. Honorable Chair, the presentation says the political principles they did meet. I don't know as to whether the National Commissioner and the DG, they did ever meet. Did you ever meet to agree that in this presentation, this is what is going to be presented, so that each and everyone knows what is expected to do in this meeting, instead of them thinking that it's still going to be coming up with the resolutions of the past meeting that we were in, where we were talking about the parliament present security. And the presentation, I think, is here to address that particular issue. My suggestion would be that let's have this presentation, which is talking to the parliament present. And secondly, they must go and come up with a comprehensive or detailed report on the issues that have been raised, because they were not aware of that they're going to be dealt with in here. But honestly speaking, we should not come into a meeting where people just start to be so disrespectful. Thank you.
Thank you, members. If we can just maybe leave the eliminate points. We've indicated what is going to be the approach. Now, members, is continuing to come back to those issues. Honourable Fick, are you going to assist us?
A person for progress, I'm covered. The points that I wanted to speak about have been raised.
Thank you very much for assistance, Honourable Marke.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chairperson. What a suggestion here. I mean, we've been complaining about public works, and SAPS is a department that if a mistake is done there, then the repercussions are so huge. So, meaning that it's something that we can't allow to happen. And since we have been complaining about this, I would suggest that we have an urgent motion in Parliament and debate the performance of public works, where all departments that complain will bring their complaints in a debate in Parliament, where there are cameras for the whole of South Africa to see that it's not the police that are not performing. That would be my suggestion, and my suggestion would be that since the political principals have already met, maybe they are mapping up something, they must give us reason not to introduce the motion. Unless if they are going to give us time frames or all of these things are going to be sorted out, and we have reason not to come up with an urgent motion to debate the performance of public works, then we go ahead with that. I would suggest that that be the resolution of this joint meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that proposal. There's a seconder. Thank you very much. Honourable Adams.
I don't second that, sir, because, Chairperson, if public works are also subject, like all other departments, to Treasury, and I think Treasury should have also be called into this meeting, so that Treasury could also tell us where is the money coming from, is there money, because in our visits to our constituencies, we see the state of police stations, detective officers and all that, and when we engage, it's always there's no money, there's no budget, there's no money, there's no budget. So I would propose, Chair, that once we do a follow-up meeting in what the General has presented here, because it is necessary. I was also under the impression that we come for the parliamentary issue that was raised, but we still need to have a follow-up meeting of the presentation that the General did, and we need Treasury there, that Treasury can then confirm to us whether there's money, because from our understanding, there's 100,000 rand per department for maintenance and small upgrading of maintenance. But the bigger money, the bigger projects, needs to be funded from somewhere, and that is Treasury. So I would propose, Chair, that we continue with our parliamentary briefing and then schedule another follow-up meeting, also inviting Treasury with the two departments and Treasury, so that we can get then to the bottom of what is happening really. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, members, I see the three of hands. Let's leave it. I think we're not going to reach consensus on the proposal, but it's up to the, I mean, members of the police committee are welcome tomorrow at first order of business to raise that proposal, and it will be duly handled, if that's fine. Otherwise, we're going to have now a debate between the two committees, and I don't think it's going to be productive. Let's give an opportunity to the DG of Public Works to react. DG, you're welcome.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thanks very much for raising those issues. I'm now going to respond in terms of the issues that have been raised, and then also commit that we're going to ensure that we develop a project execution plan on all the issues that have been raised and submit in a detailed manner, because in front of us is a detailed document. Thanks. I'm sorry. Myself and the National Commissioner, we do meet, but we have never met on this matter. We do meet on other issues. And then we have agreed that we should address these issues in principle. We are in agreement. In terms of the presentation, up to page 50, it talks about Parliament Towers. The matter of Parliament Towers, we have already discussed it. It was there was a meeting convened by the Minister of Subs where he wanted to understand what is happening. We made our presentation, after which there was an indication that he's going to meet the Minister and discuss this matter. The meeting might have taken place, as already the National Commissioner has mentioned. I also subsequently prepared a letter, comprehensive letter, to the National Commissioner responding to the matter of Parliament Towers. Telkom Towers. As already indicated by the National Commissioner, we are going to meet with the National Commissioner and discuss these matters. That's the response that I can give. The issues that they raise a lot of issues which I think we are ready to ensure that we deliberate on them and clarify on certain areas. Where we don't agree, we develop a way forward of how best can we address them. That's the first part. The other part that has been indicated is the issue of lease agreements, this month-to-month lease agreement. Obviously, the matter of Telkom Towers affect a host of leases that were supposed to be collapsed had Telkom Towers been addressed quickly. If Telkom Towers is not addressed, those month-to-month leases will not be addressed, because Telkom Towers was the solution to addressing all these month-to-month leases. In the absence of which, we cannot sign a long-term lease in any building at this stage without resolving the matter of Telkom Towers and how do we move forward. Because once we commit on long-term leases, we'll have committed ourselves. On the other hand, perhaps we'll be resolving the matter of Telkom Towers. I think that's the area where we are now. With respect to the maintenance is an issue in many buildings. The issue of funding is one of the biggest challenges of the department and the country as a whole. In this sense, the Department of Public Works has prepared a cap memo. I think we have not also discussed this with our portfolio committee. I've just signed this cap memo that talks about the maintenance challenges and the issues that causes these maintenance challenges. For us also to ensure that we are given the opportunity in terms of financial support to ensure that our buildings are properly maintained. In terms of the health and safety issues, it is now a requirement in the Department of Public Works that we no longer sign a lease agreement without consideration given to health and safety matters. Occupational health and safety is the issue that we address in all our buildings. The delays in terms of the construction or completion of buildings, I've seen in the presentation there's also a concern raised by our colleagues in SAPS that the usage of implementing agents has got the cost implications. It's a matter that we have not discussed. We are in use of some of the implementing agents because they are much quicker in terms of delivering the service. If the cost is an issue, it's something that we can talk with our clients as to how can we address the issues of the cost, because there should be a discussion between ourselves and the clients. The issue of consultation with our clients. Already there's an agreement in principle at political level with our political principals that we need to have task teams at the administrative levels. And then already in certain areas it is working. We have not, I think the meeting that we're going to have with the National Commissioner is going to address a lot of things of obvious, and we have regular sessions going forward. In terms of the construction, I will also go and investigate the issue of the police station that has taken too long without it being completed, to check as to what are the issues of delaying that. I think it's quite detailed the manner in which they have made it. We do have options that are available with respect to some of the day-to-day maintenance that can be devolved to our clients. It's a matter that can also be discussed with the National Commissioner. And then we can agree on those. I'll give an opportunity to my colleagues to add. I've got the DDG project here. I've got the DDG facilities management here. They will add in terms of their areas of functions, in terms of the presentation that has been made. You can respond on those issues that are in your area of responsibility with respect to the presentation. But you can switch on.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DG. I'm going to...
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, DG. Basically, in support of what the DG has.
Maybe sir, just closer to the mic. You're not audible. We can't hear you. So if you can, thank you, sir.
No, I just wanted to touch on the some of the issues that were raised on Telkom Towers. I think as per the guidance from the DG, we won't go into much detail there because it has been covered in totality. There was some questions that were raised about why the moratorium was raised on projects. I think just as a general explanation that one can provide is that we contract our projects on a multi-year. Basically, we contract over a period of more than 1 year. However, our budget system is an annual type of a system where we confirm budgets on an annual basis. And it happens that during that period of time when we have contracted, budget cuts have been put. It means that the contracts that we've committed on, we need to find ways of making sure that those contracts are maintained, that we're able to pay our service providers. In turn, it means that some of the new projects that we anticipated to start will then not start because of that issue of the commitment. And that's how the restriction in terms of new projects came about.
Yeah, I think maybe at this stage, I think DG, the proposal is that there would be full written submissions. I think this is not helping us in terms of the needs of the members. So I think we take note of the input of the DG. It's noted for record, and we will then deal with the other issues in terms of the submission. National Commissioner, do you have got something to add?
Yeah, Honourable Chair, thanks very much. Maybe from my side and my colleague with DG, there's one first thing that we want to appreciate, and that is the inter-committee interaction. And we've been proposing this so that this committee knows what is a priority for the other committee in terms of critical issues. I think that is, for us, that is the foundation. And two, I also want to confirm the cooperation with DG that we have agreed to deal with these matters, but these matters are divided into two. There are those that are at policy level, which are not our competence, but there are those that are at administrative level. Hence, we referred the matters to the principals. The presentation we're doing today, we handed this presentation to our principal, and it was also handed to the Minister of Public Works during that particular interaction. So the principals, they are still giving direction. So we are then going to meet with the DG and the processes following the discussion on this particular presentation. I also then want to agree and confirm that maybe it will be good after the principals have met that we then be afforded the opportunity to stretch the direction of the principals linking to this particular process. But the foundational issues, Chair, which we would like to be brought to the attention of board committees is the national security issues and national security risks that are existing here. They can't wait for processes, they can't wait for policy changes, they can't wait for budget. And when we do security risk assessment, you will have a low risk which you can prioritize. If you don't deal with it, it automatically amounts to a high risk. Then it causes the damage 10 times, which then sometimes is irreplaceable. My last one is a point on that the DG has also raised. I think there's something that I'm sure the DG is not aware. That's about telecom towers, which is where we also need board committees to assist us. I think currently the police doesn't have a headquarters. And that needs to be known straightforward. And we've got an organization of 191,000, the biggest department in the country, doesn't have a headquarters. Telecom towers, we're sitting with a letter that says we can't occupy that building. It's not habitable. But what I'm saying, maybe there's something that the DG doesn't know. We purchased, how many towers? It's nine towers. Then while we have a letter that says the tower that we're occupying is not habitable, two of the towers are utilized by private entities, but they are part of the towers we purchased. And those ones are habitable, but they are used by a private agent. Yes, I think they are rented. Now, the rationale we're trying to get is, why do we sit under the tree and another institution uses the same buildings that we purchased? And at some stage, I said at our level, below our level, let them go and check on that particular building. What we've got from now is that Public Works is not aware of any such rental between those people. But when we went there, those people, they chased our people away. We said, we want to inspect this place. They chased them away. They said, we've just concluded a new contract with Public Works of 3 years. So I think that's a matter that we're going to, we need to set urgently so, maybe with the DG, because it comes from that particular level. But the assistance in the direction that we actually need is, if those people are using the building and we can't use the one where we are, can they get out and the police have a headquarters? And the previous headquarters of the police is expiring the lease in February. So by February, even those that are there at the current building, there will be no accommodation, they will have no accommodation. If we extend that lease, that building has not passed the SHE management. It's disqualified. So I think that's what is critical for police, and it's all national security risk, because we've got such critical matters there which can be exposed if they can. But it's something that we're also going to take up extremely urgent with the DG so that we dispose of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much to the National Commissioner and DG. I will close then on this point. I think we've noted that there is interaction between the two executive authorities. And also ongoing discussions between the two DGs. We will await the written response from the DG of Public Works. But I think from the police committee side, in terms of the national security risks and in terms of the peace and stability cluster, we will have to deliberate on the briefing that we received today and then come with certain resolutions, specifically with regard from the issues raised today. So members, we will then take a 10 minutes break, tea break, and then we'll come back to the second item. Chair, over to you.
Yeah. Just one important point. Before we break, we are now almost breaking, and this matter will be done. We'll then deal with the matter where Public Works will present. But having heard what the General has said, for the second time, I want to impress on the General and the DG. They are the two people heading the administration. They cannot pretend that they are now powerless. DG, you are the accounting officer, you are the head of the administration. The General, you are the head of the 191,000 you have told us about. Now, for both of you, if the ministers have met, that's good, but you should be meeting more often so that some of the things, unless you tell us, oh, no, that man is not listening to you, or the same DG. So please, I think some of the things should not have come the way they have come. If you were meeting, the DG should not have complained that what you are presenting is a thing, it's here. But you have given the minister, but not your colleague. So the more you work closer, the better for the two departments. That's what I'm impressing. Work closer, that will assist the two departments. It will even assist the honorable members. Because now we will have a situation where honorable members may end up, you know, taking sides. Do you want that? We don't need it. Please, where you can meet, meet. But now that we know, we'll also from our side try and really push that things must happen. But the urgent meeting, indeed, where the response must come from the department, is really something that we must agree house very soon.
Yeah, but Chair, unfortunately, there won't be any further joint meeting this year because our program is already full. But I mean, it can be submitted to us in writing and we'll then evaluate that. Thank you. Let's go for tea. 10 minutes.
Minutes were starting. Honourable members, we think we should now start. We are now on the matter that started these joint sessions. If we remember what happened, which led to us, the two portfolio committees, meeting. There's something that happened, and that then led to the two portfolio committees meeting. And in the last meeting, we said Public Works must prepare a response to the issues that were raised in the last meeting. So we want to allow the presentation then by both parties. We're looking at Public Works in particular, because even in the last meeting, issues of concern from the police side were raised. So we want to give, who is ready between the two? The police are already leading. So thank you very much. We hand over to yourselves.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair. I think our presentation is ready, but I see the Public Works one is already on the screen. So if the chair rules, we can present after them. Thank you.
I thought you were saying you were on the screen already and you were hijacking them. So you are not on the screen. So please, police must not hijack. Public Works is already there. So we'll then give Public Works opportunity to take us through. DG?
Thanks so much, the Joint Chairs and Honourable Members. We are going to make a presentation now. My colleague here is going to take us through on issues that have been raised, and then with respect to the interventions that... With respect to the interventions that needs to be put in place, and already we indicate what we have done already and what still needs to be done.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the DG, and the Honourable Members. Chair, our presentation focuses on issues that were raised in our last meeting when we were looking at the security at the parliamentary precinct. We were requested to produce short-term measures, a report on short-term measures on the 14th of October, which we did submit on the due date. We then requested in the meeting, our understanding is that we need to give a comprehensive report on measures we are taking to close the gaps that were identified by SAPS in 2015, and also to incorporate issues that were raised by the portfolio committee, which we'll summarize as the following. That we provide a progress report on the issues that were identified in 2015, and two, the need for cooperation between the stakeholders. Also maintenance of access control to ensure it is in a functional state. To recap, Chair, as well, during the SAPS report, there were issues that were raised with access control, scanners that were not functional, metal detectors that were not functional, and that in the meeting, we didn't get into detail on the issue of, the meeting actually didn't get into detail on the issue of the incident that happened on that day. Which again, we are not going to be touching on that issue because we think the last meeting have resolved on that matter. Issues that were raised by SAPS in 2015, to recap again, Chair, was an element issues of poor or almost no access control system at vehicle and pedestrian entrances, the lack of shelters at vehicle entrances resulting in poor working conditions due to inclement weather. No vehicle search park at the parliamentary complex, inadequate perimeter fence, no designated security checkpoints for delivery of vehicles and trucks, inadequate infrastructure to cater for buses and heavy-duty vehicles, amongst other issues that were raised. Chair, the department responded by initiating a project which covers, which scope covers the issues that, the deficiencies that were raised. This project, Chair, we have to say it upfront, it has been delayed. Part of the delay kind of recently has been the issue of the heritage nature of the building. In 2017, we had to consult the Western Cape Heritage Council and also SARA for their intervention for us to do the impact assessment. We put a notice in 2017 December to the Heritage Western Cape, and also we received the response in February this year and in March. After the subsequent approval by the Heritage Western Cape that our heritage impact assessment report needs to incorporate the traffic impact assessment, archaeology survey, and the visual impact assessment, we were then informed that, in fact, when it comes to the present, because it's a national key point as well, we needed to have a concurrence of SARA. An application to SARA was made. We are still waiting for SARA response. But however, we have continued to look for the services of the town planner in order for us to have the heritage impact assessment that incorporated the three reports. We had some challenges with our procurement process to get the town planner, but we have eventually appointed the town planner on the 19th of October this year. We have had a stakeholder meeting convened on the 25th of October to brief the town planner. We will then have a broader stakeholder meetings on the 14th of November that will include all stakeholders, including the SAPS, for us to fully, SARA will also be involved, the Heritage, the Western Cape Heritage Council will be involved. We hope to complete the heritage impact assessment on the 30th of January 2019, but our proviso is that unless we are able to negotiate with SARA and the Western Cape Heritage Council, for us to run the mandatory public participation process concurrently, and we hope that there won't be any appeals on the that will be lodged through that process. If that process runs smoothly and we are able to negotiate with the two heritage councils for us to shorten that process, but making sure that we are also compliant with the law and the legislation, we hope to complete that process on the 30th of January. We'll then, Chair, have our own internal departmental compliance process, including the finalization of the tender documents, which we approximately think will take about 4 months to the maximum, but we are trying to reduce that as much as possible. If we are able to do it, we can go to tender earlier, but as it stands, we are looking at going to tender in June 2019. We expect the contract to be on site in September 2019. The project is projected to be a 12-month contract, which work will be completed in August 2020. Chair, we are also to ensure that the requirements both of SAPS and Parliament are taken into consideration during the planning and the execution. We are setting up a steering committee specifically on this project to ensure there is proper coordination of all expectations coming out of this project. On the second issue of cooperation between the stakeholders, Chair, we want to highlight the current forums that are existing where there is a kind of cooperation between us, SAPS, and the Parliament Portfolio Services. There is a Parliament DPW and SAPS engagement that is convened by the Acting Secretary of Parliament. This meeting focuses on strategic and operational matters in the parliamentary precinct and also relating to all projects, including security projects in the national key points, and also looks at some of the elements of the movement of Parliament from Cape Town on that project of the movement of Parliament from Cape Town. This meeting is convened by the Acting Secretary, where also the DDG or the representative of the DG and the representative of the DG also form part of this meeting. We also have another forum that also sits regularly convened as well by the Acting Secretary to Parliament and the Secretary of Defense, which focuses on security for SONA. This meeting is convened by the two principals during the time closer to SONA. We also have, at the operational level, a bi-weekly security site meetings for maintenance contract where SAPS, DPW, service provider, and parliamentary protection services are also involved in this meeting. It deals, Chair, with all the maintenance-related issues, those access controls. If any machine is not working, how to report those machines, and the reports on the daily monitoring of those machines. What I've included in my report, Chair, is also a what we call the ISSD meeting convened by the operational divisional manager in Parliament, which includes us, SAPS, and the protection services. In all of these forums, they exist the issues that relate to security in Parliament, including the projects that relate to security and other projects that we're doing in Parliament, are discussed extensively. We hope on our side, which is that once the joint planning committee set up by the Secretariat of Parliament in terms of the National Key Points Act, we will then have an overarching and oversight kind of a body that will be looking at the functioning of all of these forums. On the maintenance of the access control, as a department, we have commissioned the investigation of the system and the equipment that we have in the present. We will be getting that report in 2 weeks' time, where we'll have to take decisions as to which machines are reaching their lifespan and when are we changing those machines. But we can assure the House, the committees, that all the machines that we have in the presence that are quite critical are in a working conditions, are functional. These are the measures that we have taken into consideration to ensure that these machines are working. That there is a daily routine check and inspection of the infrastructure, both in the morning and the afternoon, and the records that are generated out of those inspections. There is a quarterly inspections of all the machines. Not only the inspection, there is a quarterly servicing of all our equipment in Parliament. We have records on that. All of the machines that are not working, they are reported and they are attended to immediately by our technical team that is in Parliament. We will be doing the installation of the tensils for the entrance and the exit. We are finalizing the designs, which we will be installing all of those tensiles by the end of January next year. We are in the final stages of finalizing our designs. We do inspection of all the UPS that are supporting detect machines and the NSA system. We are carrying that almost on a weekly basis to ensure that they are in a working order. We have also increased the sensitivity of the metal detectors and the X-ray machines in all that are in Parliament to be that at the airport system where the sensitivity, even the littlest thing, needs to be detected. But we will be in consultation as well with SAPS to see, because we had some complaints that the high sensitivity level attracts all sorts of things. Maybe we need even the wind, so we need to decrease that. But we want to have a consultation with SAPS to ensure that that decrease doesn't compromise security. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. DG, any addition?
We're fine up to this far. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. We'll then move to the SAPS General.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Our presentation shall be led by Brigadier Michel, with your permission. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Looking at the roles and responsibilities of the SAPS in relation to the protection of the National Parliament, we look at the integrated stakeholder management between SAPS and DPW, solutions that we've implemented to improve security measures at Parliament, the international benchmarking of security measures at Parliament, and then just the summary in terms of way forward and conclusion. The purpose, obviously, to brief the joint committees on police and public works on the progress made by SAPS to improve security following the recommendations made on the 26th of September 2018. There is acknowledgement from SAPS of receipt of the declaration of the parliamentary precinct as a national key point, as signed by the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces on the 18th of October 2018, which by implication implies that Parliament will be regulated in terms of the National Key Point Act, and until such time as the Critical Infrastructure Protection Bill is promulgated, the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the NCOP are in process of nominating a Joint Planning Committee Chairperson and Deputy Chairperson, and after these appointments a date will be set for the inaugural meeting of the JPC. Solutions implemented to improve security measures at Parliament: the utilisation of handheld metal detectors by members at the outer perimeter posts and inner perimeter posts in the case of power failure or defective equipment, the provisioning of both the security policy of Parliament and the SAPS's standard operating procedure for static protection to members of Parliament to promote compliance, and a practice to submit written reports of non-compliance as it arises to the acting Speaker of Parliament that has been implemented. There has also been the implementation of hourly situation reports and the reporting of the malfunctioning of any equipment to the PSS control centre. There will be the rotation of static protectors every four hours between posts to ensure non-familiarity, increasing of the daily routine in terms of inspection visits to at least three at each post during a single shift by supervisors, commanders and duty officers, and a communique was sent out to all members to refrain from utilising private cellular telephones during working hours, and we will ensure that the minimum standard of deployment in terms of static protectors is executed. In addition to that, regular and unannounced inspections are conducted as follows: at least three during a single shift by supervisors, commanders and duty officers at each post, monthly unannounced inspections by Protection and Security Services Head Office, and biannual announced and unannounced inspections by the Western Cape PSS office. In terms of international benchmarking, the head static protection services within the PSS division has been appointed to facilitate the planning of benchmarking of the security standards with parliaments in other countries during the 2019-2020 financial year. One European and one African country will be visited by a multidisciplinary task team comprising all relevant stakeholders. Way forward in conclusion, the regulation of the parliamentary precinct will take place in terms of the National Key Points Act. Monitoring of the operational management of protection provided at Parliament will be done by the PSS Head Office as well as PSS Western Cape Provincial Office. Implementation of the Protection Capability Management Strategy for protectors will commence, inclusive of recruitment standards, optimising of training of members, maintenance and refresher training, personal development programs to career path, and including an exit strategy for members. This will include the development of a personnel plan for PSS detailing the minimum requirements in terms of operational standards, and we will ensure effective engagement with DPW to ensure the revision of policy on the funding and procurement of physical security equipment as well as physical security upgrades of Parliament. The improved security measures as implemented and reformed strategies embarked on is not restricted to national parliament, but will in time unfold to all provincial legislatures. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. General, are you fine?
Thank you, Chair. It's just to bring to the attention of the committee that since the escalation from a strategic installation to a national key point, it automatically upgrades the security requirements, which means the budgeting for the security of Parliament need to begin now to be escalated to the next level. Otherwise, we won't be able to afford it. But also with the same clear message, once it is a national key point, you can't wait for procurement processes. I think a national key point need to be addressed with immediate effect. And in the benchmarking process, I think we went to Hungary, and they were introduced to the security guard. The budget for physical security assessment is with the parliament guard and is not with anyone else. So that if there's a security concern, you respond to it with immediate effect. I'm sure that shaping of policy might be a requirement. Finally, it's just the physical security assessment reports. The current budgetary provision has never been enough to address the physical security requirements. Hence, we have said with a backlog of physical security assessment reports, which were almost more than 3 years. So our proposal is that the budget for physical security assessment should be reviewed, and maybe we will need to look at it again from a policy review's point of view. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, the two departments have presented. We are now going to... I think you would have noticed that we... everybody who have stayed away from the incident, what really happened. We talking general, but I hope we keep in our mind that we can put a big budget, but if human beings don't do what they are supposed to do, the budget won't do that work. I think so that our argument must not really blame the budget when we human beings are not doing what we are supposed to do. I hope in Ntola General, it's not the budget. If somebody who is manning a point decides not to do what manning of a point requires, we must not then almost forget what happened. So I hope, I'm just ensuring that sometimes we tend to blame budget and blame almost on things that we can also correct ourselves as human beings. So I'm now allowing honourable members to raise your point. Honourable Malabati, yeah, at least ladies are here now. Number two, six, number three, Honourable Radel, number four. Honourable Fig, number five. Honourable Kola Banat, number six. Honourable Fildane, seven. Mbele, eight. Honourable Matabe, number nine. Honourable Masela, number ten. Let's move in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question goes to Public Works. Can we have an assurance of some kind that all scanners in Parliament are in a working condition as we speak? My other question goes to SAPS. Did you engage the presiding officers of the 9 provincial legislatures to discuss the implementation of the revised security measures to avoid a repetition of what happened in Parliament? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Madam Muller.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question goes to DPW. In slide 9, you said the contractor is expected to have been appointed. Is the contractor appointed? And why you said the contractor be on site in September 2019? How long did it take to appoint a contractor? Because now we are in 2018 November, and it's going to be a year or 12 months. Why you said it's going to be in 2019. In slide 11, In slide 12, you said we are going to have a, let me open slide 12, you said that the DPW has commissioned an investigation of the security system and equipment around the precinct. When will the investigation be completed? Because it must have timeline. You can't tell us that you are going to appoint, you are going to do the investigation. You're not telling us when is it going to be finished. Or is it going to be finished in 2024 or 2030, we don't know. Can you please tell us timeline? In slide 13, you are talking about the daily routine checks or inspection in the infrastructure, morning and evening. Are these daily inspections of the functionality of security equipment coordinated between SARS and UDPDI, or is each department conducting separate inspection, continuing the silo approach so often seen in government departments? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, allow me, for the purposes of the police committee, to just set the record straight on the previous matter that we dealt with. Public Works were aware of that document. It was provided to them. They requested a meeting with SEP, so they must not tell us they knew nothing about it. That's not true. But let me go on to the matter that we're dealing with on hand at the moment. Yeah? Now, it's sad that it needed to take the death of somebody for us to deal with this matter. First of all, I think to Public Works, since you always seem to be having a funding challenge or budget constraints, with all these additional members and steering committees and town planner and things that is being put in place, and this money has, this budget has not, this has not been provided for. What impact do you believe is this going to have on the success of this, given the fact that there's no current budget in place for this, no provisions that is being made? That's the first one. Now, my understanding is this, that there are interim measures that may have been put in place, and I don't necessarily want to agree with that. Because I can tell you that if we take a walk now and drive in, I'll be able to drive in with a firearm and nobody's going to be able to pick it, because those metal detectors are not at all the security checkpoints where people come in. Including this morning when I came in, we were just able to drive in. So it clearly means that we haven't learned enough from what has happened. That for me does not mean a comprehensive program or stakeholder, nothing. Those simple things can be initiated already, but it doesn't. But one thing is also very clear here, and I hope Public Works is listening to this. Again, when you consulted with the chair, the Speaker of Parliament and the chair of the NCOP, what came out very, very clear is stakeholder engagement. So it shows that every relevant department that you work with, police, health, everybody, where you procuring services, buildings for them, it means stakeholder engagement with them, so you must be consulting with them all the time. Chair, I think for now let me just stop there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rider.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, thank you for the two reports and presentations. I do think that we've noticed a considerable change on the precinct in terms of security since our last meeting, so yes, well done, there has certainly been action. The problem that I have is the fact that we spoke a little bit last time, and the issues that were highlighted at that meeting dealt with things like using a sledgehammer to kill a fly and scope creep, etc., etc. Now, if one considers that it is the mandate of SAPS to ensure the security of the precinct, if SAPS is allowed to continue to enforce that mandate and given the budget to do so, I mean, we will be living in CMAX effectively. So the fact is you need to balance that mandate with the other needs. And I do think that the establishment of the Joint Planning Committee is past urgent. The Joint Planning Committee has the function of taking the existing precinct in terms of its heritage, in terms of its constraints and its design, etc., in terms of budget, and in terms of the requirements of the people that work here, and balancing those with SAPS's mandate of security. And whilst I strongly believe we need to meet and discuss and get ongoing progress reports, until that Joint Planning Committee is established, I think that essentially everyone continues to run around a little bit directionless and apply band-aids to a bleeding wound, gash. So I do believe that we need to firmly reiterate the urgency of that establishment and the inaugural meeting of that committee, and I think that we need to perhaps suggest to the Speaker and the Chair of the NCRP that they need to expedite that issue. The interim measures are obviously what we're talking about today, and as I say, there's been a marked improvement in the security, and I don't think that we're anywhere near perfect at the moment. I think the Honourable Shaikh Imam is quite correct in saying that if somebody wants to come in with a firearm, with some sort of a plan, they can easily get through the systems. And I feel that often the application of the system relies on the cooperation of the people that are coming through. And if you don't want to cooperate, so effectively we're policing those who are willing to be policed, but those that are trying to circumvent the system are allowed to do so with ease. And unfortunately, again, we get back to the position of the static protectors that are on site. They are often abused and not given sufficient power to exercise their authority. Again, it needs to be done with balance. But if I want to walk in with a firearm, I can tell you I can do it now. The generals will remember, I think it was last week when they came through into the old assembly chamber, everyone came through and stood in a very long line. It looked like a medal parade at one stage. And there were people that just came walking straight past, went through, etc., and nothing happened. I personally have set off the metal detectors on many occasions. I carry two cell phones. I often only give them one. The other one stays in my pocket. It'll set the metal detector off. My bag is scanned through on the scanning device, but I'm not stopped if I set off the metal detector. So effectively, we're paying a bit of lip service to what's going on at this stage. And I do think that there is an issue, and it requires a much better approach that we've got now. The interim measures, well done. First step, thank you. But there needs to be a lot more done going forward. But balanced, of course, with the needs of the people using the precinct as well, and always keeping in mind that we're a people's parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Dr. Pick.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm not going to be as complimentary as my colleague on the right-hand side of me with regards to SAPS. Unfortunately, there might be an improvement, but from my side, I don't think it's enough. If you come in, for example, if you come in early in the morning, before 7 o'clock, then it's easy to walk past in the Marks building. There's nobody there. You mentioned that the members of the SAPS have been asked to not use their telephones. Well, I think if they don't use their telephones and they don't play games, then I don't think they have anything else to do, because that practice is still happening. With regards to these improved security measures and the way forward, how can we believe that you are actually going to implement that? You know, these are basic functions that SAP should be doing. So now you're saying that because of one incident that you are now going to implement certain things, you're going to train individuals. My question with regards to the training is this training, or should it not be done before they even come on site? I mean, how can they be trained on site? I mean, these are basic things. Now we hear that there are problems. We've heard past recently that there has been dysfunctioning or malfunctioning machines. So what happens then if the machines, I see that you've indicated that you are going to use these mobile metal detectors. But again, you know, I mean, does it really have to be that something must happen before
action is taken. And that is a disappointment that I have. So you're implementing these measures and these controls, but we're waiting for something else to happen before you act. So I'm waiting. I'm hoping that you do implement what you've got on paper here. My guess is that it will happen for a short time, and thereafter it will be back to normal. The only thing that I've experienced mostly is that I've been searched more often, but if you look at what is happening on the precinct, there are so many people that enter the precinct without being searched. I'm not for one saying that you must search me more, because I think I get searched enough, but what I'm saying is that the problem is not me. Surely as SAPS, you should be able to identify the problem people and the problems, but it seems as though members of parliament are being targeted, and that's the experience that I have. So I just, as I said, I hope that it's going to be done effectively. I hope you achieve what you're wanting to achieve, but don't target me. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Very much. Honourable Matera.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just concern for SAPS regarding a parliament. My understanding of parliament is that it's a cul-de-sac of a country. But now, on page 5, you say the parliament was being declared on the 18th of October 2018 as a national key point. So I actually don't understand. All along from 1818, the parliament, how do you take parliament as a what? Not a institution. The second one is a revision of policy of funding and procurement. Really, that one needs urgent attention by both SAPS and Public Works. Thank you.
Honorable Diane Balabanat.
Thank you very much. Let's just start at the top. Yeah, on slide 5, just clarify something for me. You acknowledge that the parliamentary precinct is a national key point. Yet on the official list of national key points released on the 22nd of January 2015, it only has two addresses, shall we say, Parliament House and 120 Plain Street. So does that include every building that you see, or are some buildings not key points, or how does it work? Because I'm starting to get the feeling that Parliament's just declared itself and every building, the Marks building, all the other buildings, to be part of a key point, when in fact that declaration was never made in 2015. We have photographs taken here on a daily basis. We have the opening of Parliament, people strolling in and out, taking a million photographs. So it seems that sometimes one can flout the regulations and sometimes one can't. So please just clarify that, or of course it'll all fall by the wayside once the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act comes through in any case. Now, many people have spoken to me about the attitude of some of the SAPS members in relation to members of Parliament, especially at Mark's Building. They're ever so charming going into the old Assembly entrance, ever so charming going into the NCOP entrance, and then you hit Mark's Building. And the scanner is about chest height for me at 5'2" and a piece. So I have to haul a huge bag up and try and slot it through a little gap and push it into the machine while three men sit and play on their phones on chairs on the other side. I asked for assistance and was told with no uncertain terms it's not their job, they're just there to look at what I've got in my bag. I did report the particular individual and that person was removed from the Marks Building, but it just seems to me that if officers feel contempt for members of Parliament, maybe they would be best placed somewhere else. Because what's the point of having them here if they feel their job is to treat others with contempt? We're all trying so hard to do the right thing. And even when you get at the end of it sitting at 9 o'clock at night and now people want you to haul things up and put it through the machine, it can be the most, for the seventh, eighth, ninth time that day, they want to search you again. We are trying, but I suggest that maybe some officers could also be assisted in their, in the way they treat us. Talking about that, I know the SAPs put forward a plan to Public Works some years back. We all come out of the underground parking and we're forced to go left, even if there's not a soul. Oh, they won't let you go out that gate without, because I've had to phone people many times to make them open the gate. I've just thrown in the towel. But they like you to go left. They all stand with their backs to you, so you drive down and then the gate is shut. So now 20 cars must traverse up the hill past the bollards and the building works, and I'm sure they find it enormously amusing to do that to members of parliament. But all Public Works needs to do is put in one pole with two lights and you go the way the green light flashes. I mean, it's not brain surgery, and I don't understand why when the SAPs asked for this years ago, Public Works ignored them. Elevators, the one in the car park hasn't worked for weeks, months, I don't know how long. Is anybody in Public Works interested? I don't know. The bag scanner, when people were asking in Tobarks Building, was not working on Thursday night. It is working now, but that does speak to the maintenance contracts as asked earlier. Now, I see you want the sensitivity of the x-ray machines to be beefed up to airport status. You cannot be serious. You want men to have to take off their belts, to have to pull their wallets and their small change out of their pockets. People, this is not a prison. This is where we work. We go in and out of our offices every day, all the time. This morning at the airport, I watched men having to take their belts off, having to empty. MPs, I'm telling you, will not do this. If you're going to reduce us to the level where a 20-cent coin is going to settle, then what are you going to do? When it's got, are you going to start patting down MPs? Are you going to be able to keep a woman and a man at every... No, I can see your face. You can't. Be very careful of turning this place into Alcatraz. I understand we had a tragedy, but really, we work here for a living. Please don't treat us like we're the criminals here. This is not an airport. It is a place of work where we come in and out of offices on a regular basis. So really, yeah. Just tell me, I've seen in the list the turnstiles. What makes them so special? I know the one in Mark's building has never worked, but presumably there's some new improved system. What does it do? X-ray you as you walk through? Why do we need new ones? Again, and I did have a question for Public Works, which I'm speaking to my chair now, sir. You said I could ask. Shall I go ahead and put it now so that Public Works can answer it in their written report?
You can submit it in writing and then we can take it forward. Okay.
Well, I've tried in writing about seven times.
Okay.
It's never been successful.
Okay.
So I figure the gentleman is sitting here. I'm going to ask it. It's about a meeting we had with IPED the other day, and they're in a slum building. I mean, when they have the toilets fixed, it's like a huge celebration for them, and it's owned by Rue Shebangu. And I have asked Public Works time and time and time and time again to tell me how many of the buildings, how much are we paying this man? Have we made him a billionaire with our taxpayers' money? Now, IPED told us last week that when they came out of their meeting, Rue Shebangu was on the pavement. He knew exactly what had been said in the meeting and tried to strong-arm her into buying his slum building. Somebody is paying Rue Shebangu rent for that building when the court declared the lease invalid. He should be getting nothing, yet someone's paying him. Is it you paying him? Because it's sure not the IPED. They don't have that kind of money. I want to know who this man... I know who he is. I know what happened with the Becky Pele era. I know it all. But I don't understand why you won't answer my questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fultane.
Thank you very much, Chair. First of Public Works, question. Given the remarks by the National Commissioner of Police that normal procurement processes would potentially carry the danger of frustrating the very purpose for which this process has been put in place, how do you propose speeding up your procurement processes such that you actually respond to the word interim instead of looking to implement something some 2 years from now and something some 4 months from now? How do you propose circumventing that? And to the police, we all know, and you definitely know more than I do, that there is something called collusion in the space of criminals by the very people who are supposed to take care of criminals, of criminality rather, of preventing it. Now, I've seen your beautifully designed picture of hourly checks and what have you of the system. Now, there is still a potential, I wouldn't say great, there is still a potential of collusion. When people know that it's so-and-so who is in charge today, and it's so-and-so will come and check, and so on, and that information slips out to the very people that you're supposed to be taking care of, and they say, no, don't worry, it will be so-and-so who will be checking, it will be so-and-so who will be on guard, and that will be the best time for you to sneak in with something that is not supposed to be in the premises. Do you have, on top of this, a system that would automatically supervise the process, detect the process automatically? That's my question. And again, strategically thinking now, given that we're in this process and spending so many precious hours just because we are reacting to an ugly incident of death, do you have within your structure a typical strategic planning division that sits down to say, here is the situation generally speaking in the country and in the world for that matter. This is how we suggest as this department or division within the department that in order to prevent criminality of this nature, these are the measures that we should take. Because again, like I said when we were in M46, the other day talking about a Ngcobo incident, you seem to be mastering the art of reaction. Now I'm asking, in a cooler environment today, do you have such a division that sits and says incidents of this nature teach us a lesson? We should now have people who think 3, 4, 5, 20 years from now to say the social trends in the country, the communication methods in the country force us to foresee that such and such an incident can take place. And to the Commissioner and the DG for Public Works, may we as these two committees have within 2 weeks a program in which you are planning to meet and how regularly you will be meeting. These are your clients, Mr. DG and Mr. Commissioner. You need that gentleman. he indicated that you do meet. He didn't tell us what you talk about. But as Parliament, we want to request specifically that you talk about these issues and then you can add the others to your agenda. Lastly, Chair, just for your information, Commissioner, on this question of non-use of personal phones, I hooked up with the support group of the police, whatever it is called in East London, 2 or 3 months ago. And they said to me, once they came to know in the meeting that I'm in Parliament, that they do not have phones to use there. They're using their own phones. Privately, I can give you the number and the name of the person who is in charge of that particular cluster. It's not to shame the police or them, but just to tell you about some of the consequences when you say they should not use their phones. Because now you may be seen to be selecting the people at this national key point and say, don't use your personal phone. And then when others get to know about it, they could use that as an excuse excuse. They said they don't have phones, official phones, they don't have laptops, they don't have airtime even for their phones. And that is in a certain cluster in East London. As I say, privately I can give you, you know, the details with the name and telephone number. Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Zakhele Mbele.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. I have a single question in two parts, and it relates to the reports we received from the SAPS that there's been a declaration of the whole parliamentary precinct as a national key point, which was signed and acknowledged by the Speaker and the Chair of the NCOP last month, 18 October. And so my first question in that regard, Chair, is can we get the reasons as to why that was done? I think the mere fact that, well, maybe to take a step back, because my understanding, just to echo what Honourable Caller Barnard said, is that as at last report to this committee, it was only the NCOP building, old assembly building, and new assembly building, and 120 Plain Street that were declared as national key points, not the precinct as a whole. So I'm assuming that this report is now giving the update that now the entire parliamentary precinct from Plain Street to Government Avenue to Spin Street to the top up here now falls under that regime. And I'd just like to know why. This is precisely the reason why the Critical Infrastructure Protection Bill had to be developed and passed, is because we can't have arbitrary declarations of national key points if we can't understand why the application of that particular regime comes into effect. You know, it needs to be against objective criteria and the whole process. So I'd just like to understand why that was the case. If it relates to the suicide incident, I'd like to understand why that couldn't be addressed either by firstly ensuring compliance with existing stipulations and provisions, and if there were identified procedural gaps, then the SAPS has an array of instruments at its disposal, from SOPs to national instructions, all kinds of instruments that can ensure that those policy or procedural gaps are filled without resorting to, you know, declaring the entire precinct as a national key point. So just an explanation and a rationale for that decision and that move. And then secondly, within that, the National Commissioner made mention of the fact that there are going to be budgetary implications and challenges in relation to phasing in these new security measures. And so the question that comes up for me is that the National Key Point Act, as it currently stands, does make provision in Section 3B for something called a special account for the safeguarding of national key points. Admittedly, I haven't done a detailed exploration of what this entails, but this basically sounds like a pot of money that is meant to assist or subsidize when it comes to security measures for national key points. So has this been looked at? Is this functional? I just need some clarity on that, Chair, because if, you know, the basic assumption is that because taking a decision to declare a national key point is a fairly substantive one and would likely require some heavy financial commitments, that's why the special account for the safeguarding of NKPs was put in place. So if we're not using it, the obvious question is why. If we are, then we need to find out why that's not sufficient, and is that not something that should factor into making the decision to go that route in the first place? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Manogo Masiela.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. My first question or comment, I want to say I thank the presenters for the two presentations. To Public Works, some of the issues that were discovered in 2015, they were only started to address them in 2017. And some are not yet even done now. I want to say we must look into a situation where you try to fast-track issues when they have to be attended to. I think somehow the department is relaxing in a way. I know there's someone who did talk about that one. And to the police, as the chairperson has said, that it's not about budget. Even if the budget is there, if people are not working, they are not working. In fact, what made us to meet as the two committees, it was that incident. And that incident, it was not because of the building or because of the scanner. It's just that people were negligent at work. A person just passes without being checked or anything. That was the reason why it happened. So what is also important here is that we must be in the position to talk to our officials to do the work the way they're supposed to do it. One has already indicated that even now we can pass there without anyone checking. At one stage they do check, at one stage they don't check. So that is a real problem. Because if we are not doing our work in a proper way, whatever we have, it will never happen in that way. So, as the police, we must also try, by all means, to talk to our officials so that the work is done properly and we avoid any of these things that are happening here in Parliament. It's true that we cannot pitch our security up to the one in an airport, for example. Because if we do that, it's also going to be very difficult. At times when you pass there, especially myself, I'd have to put a duke on. I'll be searched on the head. But there is someone else who did not have a duke, but they've got a very big hair, is not searched. Things like those. So you don't understand what is actually happening. But what is important here is that as we are saying, this is going to be our national point, which is very good. It's not long declared, it's declared now in October 2018, but let's look into it in such a way that this is also a place for all community members to be coming here all the time. And some of them, they just want to see how the parliament is being run. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and I'll be leaving for my next meeting. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masela. You are already released. Honorable members, we want to give opportunity to both the department to give their take on what the honorable members have to say. DG?
Thanks, sir, very much, honorable members. With respect to the questions that have been raised, the first one relate to the scanners as to whether all are waiting. Not all are waiting. There's one which is not working. There's one scanner, which is not working. It is going to be part and parcel of the inspection that we're going to undertake. I think in discussion with my colleagues, there's a need also here that we have a joint inspection with our counterparts, our clients, subs, in relation to this area. With respect to the contractor that has been contractor for purpose of doing this work, the contractor has not yet been appointed. My colleague will explain the process that entails why we have not yet appointed the contractor at this stage. The inspection or investigation that we said we'll undertake for the security measures systems in Parliament, the timelines is the end of this month. We'll ensure that by the end of this month it is finalized. It's not going to take long. The issue relating to the detectors, the sensitivity thereof, this matter has been attended to, although there may be a need to go back with respect to also the x-rays as to the extent of their sensitivity, to take into consideration the concerns that have been raised in this meeting, so that we should always be sensitive to issues that are raised. We are going to ensure that we do that collectively ourselves and also our colleagues in SAPS. The issue of the impact of the budget. With respect to security measures, what impact does it mean? Yes, I think this one is a matter that administratively myself and the National Commissioner, we have to discuss it, because there are some things that together we should approach National Treasury. It's not only a matter that affects SAPS alone, it also affects our delivery model from the Department of Public Works. This one is a matter that myself and the National Commissioner, we can have a joint approach to National Treasury and see how best can we actually be assisted in this particular area. We have noted and we accept the issue of stakeholder engagement. It's a matter that we're going to take the responsibility to take forward. The plan also of meetings between myself and the National Commissioner. When we meet and discuss matters relating to service delivery. It's just that we have not yet discussed this one, but we are going to facilitate that we speed it up. The matter of which has been raised, the issue of EPIT accommodation and also relating to the particular service provider. I signed responses to Parliament on this matter and then also facilitated an investigation on this matter, because it was also raised in another forum also, to find out as to what extent are we found to be having contracts with this particular service provider. We'll give a written response. The investigation was assigned more than 2 weeks ago, so which means by now the response it should be ready by now. The issue of following normal procurement processes with respect to security measures. It's a matter that collectively between ourselves and the National Commissioner, we should approach National Treasury, because issues of procurement are regulated by Treasury and regulation. And then issues of security, we found that they are not covered, but we need to find a way on how they can be put in place, because they are sensitive on their own. It's a matter that we need to look at also. I'll ask my colleagues to add in areas which I've omitted or not covered. Colleagues, you can add.
Thank you very much, DG. It's one issue that DG just didn't address, was the routine, the daily routine maintenance, whether we are doing it on our own without the involvement of other colleagues. When we do the routine maintenance, we do it together with SAPS officials at that particular station. They sign off on the report that is generated by the service provider. Thank you.
Thanks very much, coaches.
Thank you very much. Can we give the opportunity to the leadership of SAPS?
Yeah, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. I think I'll start here and there with questions which would carry a strategic weight, and I will allow the operatives to deal with operational questions. The first one, Chair, I wanted to start with the one for training. I think with training, we're not necessarily reactive, but what I wanted to bring to the attention of the committee is that criminals are changing modus operandi every day. And for each modus operandi change, we go the training and development research. That is why if criminals come up with a new modus operandi and we haven't catch up with it, that modus operandi can be executed, then it means we must be reactive to it. But I want to take this same question with the question that talks to the strategic plan or center that looks into the proactive way of dealing with the matters or security breaches. Firstly, in terms of the turnaround vision of SAPS, we introduce a modus operandi analysis and research center. And that modus operandi analysis and research center is operating 24 hours. And it's a new concept nationally and internationally. The other countries, they want to learn from us about it. And this particular center is the one that produces a modus operandi report. If there's a new modus operandi, the report will capture it and we'll start doing modus operandi awareness. We change plans. If it impacts on training, then we must also, that is change training and upgrade. We also have a crime research division in SAPS, which complement the modus operandi analysis center. So the Crime Research Center is also looking at long-term modus operandi. It also analyzes that is crime from a research point of view and give us the long-term implications that is of crime. And when it comes to Parliament, there's one of our physical security assessment reports which outlined or identified the fact that criminals have already bypassed the card system. They invented a new modus operandi. Now, if you are still on card system, the modus operandi has already advanced beyond the card system. You need to be on biometrics. So that's what they haven't found their way in. But the one obvious thing, and that's why we put the emphasis, if we put that report and say the card system is about to be bypassed by modus operandi, if we need to change to the biometrics, if you don't, they will enter Parliament. We also even want the Reserve Bank. And so I think that's what, beyond that one, we've got the NICOC analysis. I think they also, so these are the three that are at the center of this. Then, Chair, the constant routine search, including the searching of members of Parliament, how I want to put it is that Parliament will promulgate the law and SAPS responsibility is to enforce it. Now here we are sitting with a National Key Point Act which has been promulgated by Parliament, and it dictates the moment a precinct is declared National Key Point, this search method applies. If the police doesn't do it, we violate the Act. But then you will get resistance to some of the parliamentarians. No, the law that we've passed there, you cannot implement it against us. Now, where does it put the police? I think that is the type and level of cooperation that we actually need, because there's two ways of declaring or treating government buildings. It's either is a strategic installation or it's a national key point. And SAPS does not declare a national key point. The applicant is the one who's the owner of the precinct who applies
to us. We process the application. So if the applicant said, I want to be governed or treated in terms of the national key point, then we'll treat you as such and we'll make sure that that law does not get violated. But I'm just putting this forward to say, if the process of Parliament is final on becoming the national key point, there's more stringent security measures coming. And we want to call for that cooperation upfront, or we must review that particular matter. But it's a law issue that where we need assistance, I think, and support. And then, Chair, I think the potential collusion, I want to agree it's there, but we have also put sufficient measures. I think in the presentation, we have strengthened the command. We instructed commanders to do constant checks, constant monitoring, and constant addressing of members. But we've put both the disciplinary code and the performance management, that is system. Both of them are looking at this. Whatever is supposed to be done by members and is not done, it declared a misconduct. And there's no... it's not negotiable. We said we will escalate it to commanders if they don't do their job. Then the program, I want to confirm what the DG has already indicated, that we will actually come up with the program that will make sure that we meet. The last one, just the second last, is the police not having phones. I think we'll follow up the information. But the budget and the funding of security, and I don't want to put this to Public Works, but all I can say, Public Works do not have enough budget to cater for security. And what makes it a bit worse is that Public Works must actually plan on their own and present a budget to Treasury for security. But we know more about the cost implications of that. And we will sit together with Public Works, but then the expectation is that the submission for the budget for security to Treasury will be expected to shoot up once we make our input. And we're not expecting Public Works to always have the funding for this. But I think we want the approach to be then reviewed. The budget versus the people will make sure, in terms of this plan, we're going to make sure that the police do their job. But it's not separated from the budget, because if police do the searching of people there and the metal detector is not there because of the budget, it's going to impact negatively on the search and also on the effectiveness of the search. So I think we will maintain the balance between the two. As we raise it, we're going to be reasonable. With your permission, Chair, I would ask Divisional Commissioner for Protection and Security to respond on the 9 presiding officers, if they were. And I think there are General Motsipe Masemula will respond on the question of the national key point, the declaration of Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner, and the Honourable two chairpersons. With regard to the 9 provincial legislatures, I think the Honourable members will be aware that they are also national key points. So they are also regulated in terms of the key point, which then means that we have the JPC, which is the Joint Planning Committee, that will discuss issues of security related. And on top of that, also on the 24th of October, we also had the Divisional Management Forum, which sits also the provincial heads of the 9 provinces, where we reiterated that there should be audit that is done in terms of all the legislatures in terms of the equipment, which in any way it's also done in terms of the national key point where we do the assessment. So one would say safely that no, it has been communicated they are quite aware that these are the matters that need to be also, you know, escalated to make sure that we don't have a similar situation. So in terms of security, one would say that, you know, we have actually communicated. Thank you, Mr. Kobe.
Thank you, Chair. The General Matsipe can continue to the National Keeper.
Thank you, General, the Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. In terms of the declaration of the national key points, the declaration that you saw this year was just an extension. Parliament has been declared in pieces 1982. Ten Hayes was declared as a national key point. 120 Plain Street was declared as a national key point, and then the office of the state president was declared in 2010. So as I'm saying, what you saw was just an extension, meaning that the whole parliamentary precinct is now a national key point. And then there was a question also in terms of the special account. I need to just remind the House that the national key points were transferred from SANDF in 2004 to the Division Protection and Security Services, the component government security regulator, to be exact, under the section National Key Points and Strategic Installations. And since then, we dealt away with the special account. We considering the Financial Management Act. I think the financial people will agree with me that the special account was not assisting when you look at the Financial Management Act, which doesn't allow other accounts to be held by organizations. So since then, the special account was handed over to Treasury. We don't have the special account anymore. And also, if you look at the National Key Point Act, Section 3A doesn't allow that the owner of the National Key Point is responsible for physical security measures. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The few last questions were just questions of noting and also taking the necessary action. Yeah. Firstly, is the daily checks. I think we confirm the coordination, that they are coordinated and are dealt with in terms of the structured operational program. We appreciate the support of the committees with regard to the Joint Planning Committee. I think it's a mandate of Parliament, and if Parliament would be persuaded to do it, the sooner the better it can assist us. The absence of deployment, I think the General is going to deal with them today, and we will follow up and we'll just make sure that he is corrected in the proper way. The rest of the other shortcomings that we have, we will address them operationally, and we will make sure that Parliament, the security, is actually up to the required standard from subside by implementing all the basics. And we are going to work together with Public Works through the coordination of myself and the DG, and subject to the direction of the executive authorities as they have met. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Department of SAPS, Department of Public Works. Honourable members, your turnout was very good, really encouraging the department. I think because of the presentation that was done, which was not given a response because the other department said they were not advised about it. So we have to meet myself and the co-chair and plan. And we have already finished in terms of our program, but we can relook into our program because it's not making itself. It is us who make it. We can create, because it won't be, it won't make sense that some serious issues were presented and are not responded. So we must create a resource that it gives a clarity. So the public works must, because there are already issues that were pinpointed from 2015. So we can't continue that. It will take years before things are responded to. So we have a duty, because we have started this joint session. We must ensure that we create that time. I think that will be the work between myself and my co-chair to ensure that we create that where the public works must respond. And DG, come with a delegation, a big delegation of all your DDGs. Let's see, what are they up to? Why are they not responding to some of these things for so many years? So there are a lot of these things that are said, so you can't afford not to respond and you mumble. And so we must avoid what I've heard here, because they are not really helping our country. So we are one government in the end of the day. So we have to say this, the people of South Africa, all of us, there's no better, there's no angel. So we must do what the people of South Africa expect. So all of us, on the general, on the side of members of parliament, they feel we are implementing the law by session, but they think there's lack of consistency. Once you are not consistent, then you cannot be proud that you are implementing the law that we enacted, because there should be consistency. So those that have a stylish, big duke, they are inspected as if you hate this big duke. So please, there should be a sense of a reasonable man or a reasonable woman. No, General Musebe? So please take that into consideration. But we really appreciate your detailed report, even on issues that we must deal with. I hope, even as portfolio of public works, we'll be looking in all those issues as well. So, my question, any points?
No, unfortunately the time is finished. I just want to thank from our side, there's a portfolio committee police meeting tomorrow at 9. I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
The meeting stand adjourned.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I'm good.